We are now in season 8 of Between Frets. From all of us here, from Fret Sisters, we like to thank you for listening and watching our videos and supporting us since day one. Welcome back to Between Frets. It's been a while. We are back for season 7.
Let me look because I don't know.
We've been doing this while, y'all. I think it's season 7. We've been at this with y'all. So welcome back to Between Frets. We have Shorny Shorn Marshall. We have Karen at the bottom there. And we have our guest of the night. We have Jenny Jam. She just released her album, Original Me, on October 6th. It is amazing. It's her debut album, y'all. Y'all have to pick it up. It's where you get your music. It is amazing. And she also has a vinyl dropping in November. Jenny, do you have the... There we go.
Yeah, look, this is a prototype.
It is amazing. It is amazing. We're going to get into... I think she did the art herself as well. And I am Nicole Rose. If you just want to know, she dropped an animated video for the first single, Movement. And that dropped on, what was that?
That was October 6th.
October 6th for Movement. And this past November 1st, she just dropped her new single, which is Simple Things. She has a guest singer. What's her name?
Abby Sky.
Abby Sky, which is amazing. Y'all look that up on her YouTube page and all her social media. So we're going to get into the making of the album, the songs and everything. So everybody, welcome Jenny Jam.
Yay!
Well, before we do that, we actually on season 8.
No, we're not.
Oh, season 8.
Yes, we are. We're season 8. I actually looked at our YouTube channel and I was like, where we left off at? Yeah, we're in season 8 now.
On season 8. Oh my gosh. I'm Let's give a round of applause for ourselves. Yay!
Yay!
So, how's everyone been doing during the break?
I've been putting all this stuff together, all the promos and everything. So that's what I've been doing. Plus playing out, which is slowing down and working on other projects. What have you guys been doing?
Yes, I just wrapped up my own podcast, Sean's Happy Hour. It's a little funny. You can see more goofiness of me. Of course, drinks and games. And I'm claiming myself as a female Jimmy Fallon. So if you want to take a look at the whole first season of The Happy Hour, it could be on Spotify, YouTube channel, even on Facebook. So my show is technically live. So this is a difference from here and then the other show because my show is actually live. Like, live. So...
awesome.
And then, what else? I was busy doing my rabbit. My rabbit has his own IG page called Lavender the Bunny. And teaching, doing lessons, and also preparing now. Probably next month, I will have a new single, really.
Hey.
Well, that'll be a podcast.
That will be a podcast.
Just in time for cuffing season.
Yay.
Well, what I'm doing, I'm still teaching. I teach 3 instruments right now and pretty much full time. I'm teaching guitar, bass, and ukulele. I was teaching mandolin too, but comes and goes. That's why my nickname is Strings too, because I play a lot of stringed instruments. Now I'm also in a band here in South Carolina in Greenville, and we're playing a lot of corporate events, and I'm a sub guitarist for a lot of other bands. So I've been playing a lot of concerts for other bands, as a sub. You go in, you read the music or whatever, you learn the music and you play. For me, my single will be out by the end of this year. I'm putting out my first single. Yeah, I'm gonna be using the ladies from Girls Night Out that played at the North Carolina function, the International Summit. And I'm going to be using Debbie Hawkins on keys, Kim Clark on bass, Shirazette Tennant on drums, and the same singer. I have to get in contact with her when I need lead vocalist. Remember, she's on tour, and that's Stephanie Christian from Detroit.
Michigan. Oh, awesome. That's so, a nice guy.
Yeah, I'm making all women for my live performance. And on the EP, I'm going to be playing a few instruments except for the keys. I'd rather Debbie do that. And I'm going to try to get live drums. But basically, I'm coming from a fusion, hip hop, jazz kind of feel with rock, you know. So
That'll be another podcast.
I love jazz and I love rock. So I'm going to put them together.
That's so cool.
Well, since we have the lady of the night who released her first EP last month, original.
Cheers.
I don't have a beer, but cheers.
I have tea.
Let's start with the first thing, Original and Me. Where did the title come from? Was that where you started? Was that like to begin with what you wanted the title to be, or how long ago did you get to come up with the title?
Well, that came from a song that I wrote. And I wrote it actually for an audition, and this was like maybe 3 or 4 years ago. And I was auditioning for some, her name was Trina. So I think you guys know her. I'll have to look her name up, but she was auditioning musicians and was asking to submit a video. So I went in and I wrote this song, and I used a looper, you know, and, but I didn't include this song on my EP, but that's the name of the song. And so I kept, you know, it's kind of been in my, you know, pile of, music in my folder. And basically I was gonna include this for this EP, but since we were working on so much other stuff, that kind of got pushed away in a little bit. And then at that point I was like, well, let's just include it in our next batch. You know, like, if you think about it, I think Zeppelin had an album called Houses of the Holy, and they didn't include Houses of the Holy was on another album. Right. So I was just like, well, I want to call it, we were just going to call it like Jenny Jam Jams or something stupid like that. Like, you know, like, just use your name. And I'm like, no, I really want to call it Original on Me. Cause I feel like everything that I put together on this EP was like all my originals that I had sitting in the same folder that Original on Me was sitting in. And I actually have a video of that song, of that audition, on my YouTube that I did a long time ago. That groove is kind of like the same thing that's, you know, that's everything that's on my EP. There's stuff that I wrote and kind of like had something, but I never like developed it. I guess that's the word. I had a lot of songs that were supposed to be on there. I mean, we could have had like 10 songs, but I really wanted to make sure that they were ready and they were, you know, we weren't like rushing and everything. And I felt like if I kept, you know, at it and included them, it probably wouldn't come out for another, like it would probably take more than 2 years for me to do it. And I was like, you know what, let me just get what I have, get the stuff that's already mixed, the ready, you know, arranged, already done. And let me get those out there. Let me put this thing out. Let's and then, you know, our project next year is going to be the Leftovers. You know, I think that's what we're going to call Leftovers, and just put out that stuff, you know, and put out Original.
Those are already mixed and ready to go.
Some of them are like pretty close to it. Shorn, since you do a lot of music, you probably understand what I'm, you know, what I kind of went through. It's tough for me to put, I mean, when you put a song together, it's like, sometimes it could take like a month, and sometimes it could take a little while. I could say that this whole project took a year. it was a year before, it was New Year's, January of last year, that I said, I want to put my music together. And I think I had two songs already that were kind of pretty close to develop, you know, being done. And I was like, you know what, I want to do an EP. So then all last year was putting together the music and figuring it out and developing it and going back and forth on stuff. I felt like in order for me to really be satisfied with what I did, it took that long. You can knock out a song in like 2 days, but sometimes it might even take longer. I went through a lot of emotions with it because at first I thought that I wasn't, you know, they weren't good enough. Like, what the hell am I writing? Like, I always kept thinking, like, what will people think of my music? You know, I'm always thinking that, like, I really, you know, do I really care? I mean, I should be like, so what? It's my music. I really wanted to be satisfied within my soul. But I should say, really, before all this, that the person that really helped me was my soulmate, my partner, my lover, Angelo. He goes by Technotic, and he's a producer. He was a producer on this project, and I can't thank him enough for like how he took my music and developed it. He pretty much was the one that helped, you know, develop the music, arrange it, help me through it. When I had ideas to maybe like fix it or whatever, he was always like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like he was like, we gelled when it came to like putting something together. When we first met, I gave him movement and I told him what I wanted. When I wrote it, I put like drums from Logic, and you know, it was more drum and bass, like dum, 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 you know, and I tried to do it with a live drummer, and she couldn't play it that fast. So I told him that, and when he gave it back to me, it was funk. It was like a funk, kind of like a slow funk, and I was like, no, that's not it. And I thought, you know what? Forget it. I'm not going to work. Like, I was just like, nah, like, all right. You know, I don't feel like this song might work. So I told him, you know, well, I want like protest vocals. And like, if I had a rapper on it, it would be a protest rap, you know, like Chuck D or something. And so he came back and stuck these drums under it. I don't know what he did. And then he found a stem of Kool G Rap. And he put it on top of it, and I'll put this up on Instagram because he gave me a video of it, and when I heard it, I was like, this is perfect. So that was just like the start of the, you know, the team, the, you know, the dream team that we formed, creating the music. So then I just started giving him music.
So when you were doing all the music, is every song its own island, or does it have a specific genre for the album?
I don't know what genre my album would be, because I have different stuff. Like I have, you know, I have that rock fusion of movement. Then Simple Things is like an acoustic kind of, you know, kind of, I guess, R&B alternative kind of feel, you know, and then you have In the 30s, which is rock, and then Disorient Neutralizer, which features Percepto 130, who's a rapper up in New York, and you know, that's like a rap hip hop kind of thing, and then you have Swipe Right, which is lo-fi, you know, and then Technotic took In the 30s, my rock thing, and he made a disco skaters mix of it. So like a little house kind of disco thing. So it's kind of like all over the place. But I think when you listen to it, you can kind of hear the aesthetic of the person. Like, because Technotic did pretty much lay down most of the beats, he added a lot of his flavor, a lot of like the scratching. He's a DJ, you know, so he had a lot of scratching, a lot of like kind of like sampling some of the instruments and kind of, you know, putting that in there, you know, so you can kind of hear similarities, I guess, of elements, certain elements in each song, even though they might be different genres.
So with you two, pretty much are the sole two people that put together the entire album, correct?
Yeah, I mean, basically, they were a lot of my ideas. And yeah, he developed them. He put his magic on it and formed it into a song. So the one, I guess, Simple Things actually is something that was already written. It's the I wrote that song with a friend of mine, and we recorded it with a full band, but it was a different vibe. It was much faster. It was with a full band, so it had percussion, it had drums, bass, and, you know, it had a guitar solo in it. That song was already fully developed. He helped me make it like an unplugged acoustic version. More modern, and in the 30s was something that I wrote, and it was already developed. I recorded it with a live band back in the day when I worked at this agency that I used to work at, and I had a studio set up. So I had always had my musician friends come by like over the weekend or at night to record. We would record music. So in the 30s was something that I wrote back in the day on Soundtrack. I don't even know if you guys You guys probably don't remember back when Apple had Soundtrack. Nope. And I wrote it on that. And then I gave it to my friends, my musician friends. I don't even know who they were. I mean, because so many people came through the office. So I could say, well, maybe the drummer did that. Like, I don't know who actually played on it, but I had stems. I found them. And I said, I gave them the Technotic. I'm like, look, I have these stems. I want to do this. And so he took the stems and he cleaned everything up. And it turned out that the guitars, when I recorded the guitars, I wasn't an engineer, but we were like makeshift, you know, mics all over the place the way that we did it. But my guitars sounded terrible. So I re-recorded them at a studio here. And I tried to do it at home digitally through a digital, you know, multi-effects, and it just wasn't working. I was like, I need to go into the studio and I need to have like the guitars, you know, the amp mic. I need to get the actual setup to get like this rock version. So that was that. I don't know if I'm going all over the place, but.
No, I was thinking, I thought you meant SoundCloud. I thought you were on SoundCloud before. And you said it was Something Sound.
There was an app which was like Logic. Or like GarageBand, it was called Soundtrack, and it was something that came on Apple with Final Cut. Final Cut back then was a different type of interface. Mm-hmm. It was more like Premiere Pro, but Final Cut came with Soundtrack and Motion, this other app called Motion. And so Soundtrack, I went in there and they had loops. So I would like put a bass loop in there and a drum loop in there. And then I would just record grooves. I would just play grooves. And I developed, in the 30s, it was called G-Rock before. And I have that too. And that's how I'm going to be doing these little module videos about how I developed each song. And like how I did movement, I have like my first recordings of movement. I have my first recordings of in the 30s. And then Simple Things, I have the old band recording, but I don't know if I want to play that. it's so like 90s, like, I don't know, he calls it freestyle. I don't know if you guys know that genre. I don't really know that.
Yeah, but 90s music, you know, it's cyclical. I mean, music is back. I mean, you listen to people today, they are sampling, what did Prince say? You sample the sample to the sample to the sample.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, if you listen to the music today, it's a big 90s vibe.
Yeah,
a lot
of
music. And 80s, like, let's them use The Weeknd. You know, he uses that 80s stuff. Adele will do something from The Cure from the 80s, you know. And that sound, even Doja Cat, you know, she went back into the 60s, you know. Dionne Warwick with Burt Bacharach, she's doing Walk On By, but Burt Bacharach and Dionne Warwick, and she, you know, she's covering that, she sampled that, and then she's got the number one, number two song.
The difference between like the artists doing that and then like the stuff back then is that today they put a fresh vibe to it. So I could say, Simple Things back then, or what I did back then, I could probably bring it in, but I would have to do a fresher vibe if I was going to use a full band. Like, I wouldn't want to use what I did because it is dated. Like, when I listen to it, it's like, yeah, that's a little dated. I would want to refresh it if I wanted to make a version of that. So that was my thought. Like, I've been thinking, like, throughout the years to kind of bring back Simple Things, because what I love about Simple Things, which the video is out, I feel like the hook is real catchy. And my friend, when I presented the song to her, that's what she started singing. So I was like, oh crap. And then, so I used an experience of this guy I was dating, the guy I was dating, I didn't really give a shit about, but we made it so that the guy, you know, in the song, the guy that the person is dating is not treating her right, you know, that kind of thing. And it's about desires and love. And that's what I just love the words to it. When I was going to refresh it, so I was like, why don't I make an acoustic version of it? And so that's when I started developing an acoustic vibe, because then all I would have to deal with is me and however we laid out and getting a vocalist. So, and that was another thing too, was looking for the right vocalist for that song. I really, really, really wanted that song to come out. And I mean, I believe we kind of achieved modernizing it and making it kind of today. And the way I found Abby was at an open mic. Me and Technotic were attending a lot of open mics, a lot of jam sessions and stuff like that. And we were meeting a lot of musicians, and we went to an open mic, and this little girl, skinny little girl, got up on stage and started singing, and she was belting out these vocals. So I was like, I gotta get her. And when she was done, I went right up to her and I said, I need your number. Are you interested in doing singing on my song? And she was just like, yeah. And at that time, whenever I tried to find musicians to either play something on my tracks, my current tracks that's on the EP, or rap, we would try to look for rappers or singers. They would be like, yeah, we're interested. And then I don't hear from them, or I would give them submit them the track and they wouldn't come back. And I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. Like, I can't deal with these other people.
Did that delay everything, waiting on others? Did that delay the process?
Yes, because we wanted a rapper for Movement. We wanted a rapper for Movement. And I submitted a track to a rapper who was like, yeah, I'm interested. And he never got back to me. So then 3-4 months later, he emails me back. He said, I'm sorry, I was really busy, but I could still do it. Do you want me to do it? I'm like, please do it. And I still didn't hear back from him. So then I was like, we had the track set up for a rapper, you know, so it was a little longer. And then I told Technotic, I'm like, you know what? Fuck this shit. Excuse my language. I was like, let's just make it instrumental. Everything we're going to do, we're just going to make instrumental, because I'm tired of waiting on these people. But I figured with Simple Things, I had lyrics already, and I had a hook, and I had the melody. So I didn't have to worry about somebody writing to a song that I was going to submit to them. All I needed to do was find a vocalist, give them a vocal reference, give them the lyrics, and have them put the music down. And I just pay them as work for hire. And that's another thing too, is anybody that was would contribute like that, like on an original track, I was all for either tell me your fee or if you want publishing, you know, let me know, like, you know, stuff like that. Like if you're going to write to my song and you want publishing, you get half. You get, you're on it for lyrics. You're on it for whatever you contributed. You know, I was all for that. Or if there's a fee, if you want to charge me a flat fee, I'll, you know, let me know and I'll pay you, you know, that kind of thing. So I was all about the business, but for some reason, it seemed like a lot of musicians around here, not that I'm dogging this area, but it seemed like a lot of them were like, either they were lazy or I don't know what, maybe I got together with the wrong people. I met a lot of musicians that were, well, first of all, they were a lot younger, so they had a different mindset. So they were like, yeah. I'm not like the type of person that's like, you know, oh yeah, do my track and you're going to do it for free. Like, no, I'm going to pay for these services. The same with the video. Ksenia, she was my photographer for my video shoot and the album cover and back cover. She did all that. She was a photographer, but she wanted to do video. So I hired her to do the video. For Simple Things, and she did amazing.
Let me say this. I want to be like Jen when I grow up because she had a lot of guts posing nude. And I usually get like nervous in front of people doing that. And if my boyfriend would shut that down if I had to do that, but I give applause and Angelo.
He has some sexy pics on that
idea. Lucky he didn't shut that down.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, Jenny, with the sexy pics on IG. Okay.
The funny thing is that when I did that, all of a sudden, like a couple months later, everybody was doing it. And what I mean by everybody is like all of a sudden, like it was a big trend among celebrities. Because then Janelle Monáe comes out with like a nude thing. And there were a couple other like female mm-hmm. artists that were coming out, like well-known. And I'm like, wait a minute, that was my idea.
I mean, where do you think, is it like liberating or is it just like in style, out in vogue to like, hey, I want to do more sexy cover, even though that's not, you know, something I would normally do?
I think overall with everybody doing this, you know, this kind of thing that's been kind of happening. Yeah, I think it's a liberating thing, you know, I think it's okay if you're doing something like that and it's very artful, you know, very
tasteful.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
The way that
this happened was actually Angelo's idea.
Really?
Yeah, early this year when we were talking about album covers, the original idea was to do an illustration of me and I would be in the nude. So then we were like, well, how are we going to do that? And the idea would be we would take photographs and we were going to do this on our own, take photographs. And then he would take those photographs and like draw on it and become, you know, it'd kind of be almost illustrative. But he found this picture of a retro album cover called Love is Blue. And the person on there is nude and she's got body paint on her. So it was painted on her. And this was like back in the 60s, this album cover. So back then, like nobody really did digital stuff. Like this stuff was like done, you know, pretty real, you know?
That's why I refer to the 007 because I like those kind of movies.
Yeah.
You go back to those old movies. The actress or the model, she was painted in gold. The movie was called Goldfinger. And that when I saw that, I said, reminds me of like, you know, a spy movie. You know, they did that 60s, 70s, you know, that kind of vibe. And I dug it.
Yeah. So then when we saw that, we're like, oh yeah, we got to do this. And the way to achieve it would be to get nude photographs done. I was like, no, I would want something more professional. And that's where I found Ksenia. I've been kind of like stalking her sort of because I've had her IG and I've always loved her work. And she did more women, you know, more families, more pregnant women. But the way she did it was, you know, they were mostly nude, of course, mm-hmm. because, you know, they're showing off their beautiful, you know, tummies and just everything. So I was like, I kept looking at all her, you know, photos and everything. And I was like, should I go for her or whatever, you know? And then I finally made the move. What I loved about her was I told her my idea, and then we just had like three or four consultations before the photographs were even being done. So she had me sent up, like she really consulted with me. You know, the thing was, is that it would be the album cover, but also I was like, well, I've always wanted to take pictures of my body art, my tattoos. So, and I knew that I had to do it one day before I got too old and wrinkled. So I'm like, you know, since I'm paying for this shoot to, you know, do my album cover naked, why don't I bring it, you know, do my body art and have her take photographs of that since I'll be naked. So she ran with that. And she also said, you know what, bring a couple outfits and we'll take some pictures of you with some outfits too. You know, because we were going to I was booking a certain amount of time that I had, you know, I could bring in, you know, I could take more pictures. And, you know, it was kind of weird too, because I didn't really feel uncomfortable. And Angelo was there too. Like he was cool with it, you know. But, I mean, it was really only me, him, and the makeup artist and the photographer, you know, in her studio. So I kind of didn't really feel weird or anything, but I did have to get a Brazilian
wax. Girl,
I know that hurts.
Yeah. Now she, because I was like, well, you know, what about the stuff down there? Should I be wearing like nude underwear? She goes, this is Ksenia. Oh, no. You're going nude, and that hair needs to come out.
Yeah,
my retoucher is not gonna have to sit here and take out that. I was like, okay,
first time.
I'm so sorry. I actually went to this place here locally, mm-hmm. and there's. I mean, we're going to get into some TMI here, but there's this thing called steamer. So they steam you first. Like, oh, okay. All right. Because I didn't know. They steam you first so that it's, you know, so that everything's loose. And then, so it really didn't feel that bad. It kind of felt like when I got the needles and the tattoo, you know, like the initial pain, but then you kind of like, okay with it. But that's how it was. It was like...
That means you had a good one, because if you go to a bad one, you had a good one.
She was good. Yeah, man. She was good.
My first one was like I was ready. Like, hey, meet me outside at 2, because it was bad. But if you have a good one, it's not a bad experience.
Yeah. No, she did a great job, man.
That's awesome.
This is LaCole Rose, one of the founders of the Fret Sisters, and I am here to remind you that we have merch. You can go to our website and get anything from socks, shoes, jackets, notepads, phone cases. You can even get wine tumblers, anything that you can imagine, and even some things you can't. We have it at our website at www.fretsisters.com. Go and explore and get something for yourself and any other music lover in your life. Have a great day, and thanks for listening.
Did you do the digital yourself on the cover?
Yes.
Did you? Okay.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So we were figuring. Let me take this out of the plastic so it doesn't get reflected. So we were figuring. So once we had the you know, the body and stuff and got it retouched. by the way, somebody did a comment on my Jenny Jam Facebook. They were like, that's not her body. And I'm like, well, yeah, it is. I mean, it is like a little retouched, you know, from like, you know, maybe like some scars and everything, but this is my body. So what I did was, we found this piece of artwork, and I should show it, but it's an illustrator file, a vector file of this color. And I think when you guys first saw it, it was tan, like everything was tan.
Yeah.
But what I did was I masked it, you know, put a mask in here and then laid it in here and kind of, I didn't put it all at once. Like I took some pieces and I put it so it would like kind of develop, you know, kind of like develop into the curves and everything. So this is a piece of art that's kind of overlaid on top of the body.
And the back cover?
Yeah, the back cover is, I didn't really do much to it. All I did was maybe elongate this area here because I had to make sure that it was gonna, because there was a bleed section with the album cover, you know, I had to make sure that, you know, anything that's over the border, oh wait, I'm sorry. Everything that's over the border here, it had to bleed through.
That's a dope ass pic on the back. I love the tattoo and everything.
Yeah. She did a great job on this one. The process too of vinyl, of doing a vinyl, and if you do your own artwork, is that it's a print process. So since I'm a designer, and that's basically what I did in the beginning, was do print. So it's like CMYK and it's setting everything up for print. So everything I had, well, RGB, which is what you see now, you know, like any, like the stuff, my digital cover that I put up on CD Baby or, you know, everything that you see on Spotify and Apple, that's an RGB cover. Like I don't have to worry about borders or bleeds, you know, anything. But when you send it to print, anything that's out that touches the border, any piece of art that touches the border, you have to make sure that you have like at least like a quarter of the art bleeding over, because they cut, you know, that's when they cut everything. So yeah. I had to make sure that, so I had to elongate my body a little bit, like put a little bit more, because it cut off, like I think, wait, I'm like backwards. It cut off like right here, but I had to like add a little more just so that it would bleed over. If you don't follow the rules of print, of like setting stuff up for print for these vinyl companies, they'll reject it and they'll send it back. And then you have to figure out what's wrong and stuff like that. So, but like I had hair here, kind of strands here and strands down here, but I took them out just because, you know, it just kind of looked weird. You know, if I had like extra stuff in there and it was like, what the hell is that? You know, I didn't know how it would translate on print. So I wanted to make sure that I cleaned everything up so that, you know, when these do print out, you're not going to see something that looks like a blotch or something, you know? And then when I added this extra hair, I wasn't going to add it. But Angela's like, add it, keep it there. It looks good. Because it was actually a mistake that I did.
I know, right? But how does it feel having an album, a vinyl in your hand that's yours?
Well, when I have it, I actually have the test pressings right now. Angelo has them over at his place because he has a nice turntable and everything. But that's another thing is, you know, yeah, I was like, I want to do this for digital, but then I was like, you know what? I want to do vinyl. And Angelo, since he's, you know, from the hip hop era, he was like, let's do it. And, you know, I don't know if anyone's going to buy this stuff. And then I don't know how to distribute it, but that's another story. We got to have a pod about that too.
You can put Amazon in, can't you?
You know, I can. I think I can. But the thing is anybody really going to buy it? Like, I'm not really an artist. So, so when I thought about it, I was like, yeah, I want to do it. And of course, vinyl, since it's coming back, it's coming back, but it's still hard to find a good vinyl place, like a good production place. And then a lot of them, I think 100 is a minimum. I got 500 just because the dollar amount to do 500 is a lot better. And I think a lot of those production places rather you do more than 100.
So can you put it on Amazon, sell it on your own site, sell it shows and things like that? That's what you're going
to
do?
What Technotic said was to sell it on Bandcamp. And then what he's going to do, because we don't know if anyone's really going to buy it. I mean, I have to admit, I'm not really a well-known person. Nobody knows who the fuck I am. So I could say, yeah, I could set it to Amazon, but is it just going to be sitting there? You know, I mean, people might buy it, but the, you know, cost of shipping stuff, like, I really don't know the process yet of like, do I ship them 100 copies? What do I do? Technotic said for now, that you can sell your vinyl on Bandcamp. There's, I think they have on Bandcamp, which it would be nice if like, if somebody who's listening could write in the comments or whatever more about it. But in Bandcamp, it can calculate the sales tax and all that stuff. And then he'll ship it out. He'll go ahead and ship it out, because I even think he says in Bandcamp, they have like the cost for shipping. They include all that, you know, that storefront, I guess, is what they do. And then when he gets the orders, he'll go in and ship out everything. He'll buy the whatever the mailers that you mail out for vinyl, and he'll do it. You know, he'll go ahead and do that. And then I feel like if we see an increase in sales, then that would be something that I would be like, okay, I'll move it over to a distributor like Amazon or something. You know, he used to hustle a lot too when it came to, you know, back in the day, he used to do the vinyl stuff. And so he was like, I'll go here to some of the local shops and like give them like 5 copies. And we have a barcode. You know, I got them to put a barcode on it. So he's going to go to some of these local shops around here and give them like, you know, 5 or 6 copies.
Since you have the leftovers, are you going to go through the whole vinyl process again, or will those only be on
digital? I'll probably keep them on digital for now. I don't think I'm going to be doing a big release like I did with this one. That was another thing too, was for me to do the splits. Because I go into my ASCAP, because I'm signed in the ASCAP, and I go in there, and whoever, you know, contributed to this track, which would be me, Technotic, Percepto, who did the rap, he provided the verses on it. In Swipe Right, we had Sean Diggs, who did the music, more the lo-fi music. So like that was really important, that you have your publishing and your writing, your writer in whatever ASCAP, BMI, whatever. And even when I did the copyright, was the same thing, was putting down the writer, whoever, you know, wrote the music, whoever wrote the songs, you know, I would do the copyright in there. The last thing would be Falling Down. That is a cover song. So that song is, that was written by Lil Peep, and, well, XXXTentacion. Lil Peep did another version of it when he was alive. And then when he died, and then XXXTentacion died a year later, X did words to it and wanted to be part of this song. And then when they both died, the producers got together with the families and put out this song, a newer version of Falling Down, with both of them on it. And so I did a video, a guitar video of this song with, you know, playing the melody on my guitar. I got so many people, like I don't know. It just seemed like it was received so well by a lot of people. And it is because, of, you know, those two died, you know, unexpectedly. Right. They were young. Lil Peep, I think, I don't know if it was an overdose or you know, whatever. But and then XXX was murdered. And they were both really young. So a lot of people, when they heard my video, they were like so touched by it. And I got a lot of, you know, a lot of good things, you know, a lot of good response from it. So that's when I decided, you know what, I want to put this down. And to go through that, I had to figure out about, you know, the cover license and stuff. And I found out I didn't have to ask for mechanicals for digital because now they say that because now with going through the process to get mechanicals for a cover song, I don't need to get a license for digital because digital players like DSPs, they take care of all that now. So like Spotify, Apple, Tidal, you know, Amazon, if your stuff's going on, if your stuff's being distributed on there and it's a cover song, they'll go ahead and, you know, make the payments towards all that. You don't have to ask for licenses or anything like that. But on vinyl, you have to request mechanicals. You have to request a license for it. So I went ahead and I paid for 500, you know, 500 vinyls for Falling Down. And there's a lot of producers on that. Like, my gosh, I don't know if you could see this, but if you see Falling Down, you see.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
It's like 10 people.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot of people.
Oh, my God.
So, wow. So this isn't my vinyl. This is a prototype. So this is on top of, actually I should show you, this is on top of this guy's album. Right? Anyway, so I got that taken care of because I'm like, I'm not going to get in trouble.
No. Storm, y'all have any questions before we wrap up here? Well, definitely, again, congratulations.
Thank you.
And I'll talk about all of the technical work, because with publishing, sync licensing, distribution, ASCAP or BMI, and then if you're going to go to Sound Exchange or, you know, any of the, you know, you play it out of the country, and a song trust or whoever you use, remember, you got to, I know you have to be, you know, worry about, well, I'm going to be in Europe, you know, I got to get paid, and then the YouTube, and everything has changed so much in the last 5 years. It seemed like, you know, to me, it has changed drastically in 5 years. So all this legal stuff, you really have to know. You either have to have an attorney or know this stuff, because you can get sued, shut down, you know. So I was listening to what you had, all the steps that you have to go through to make sure you're covered legally, just the legal stuff alone. Is a course in itself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know, the thing about that is that a lot of there might be, I would say, a lot of people that don't even do that. I just think everybody should take the precautions to go in there and copyright your music and get on either ASCAP, BMI. I think those are the only two. I don't know if there's any other.
Yeah. There's another one, but those are the main two.
Get yourself in there as a writer, get your publishing in there just to cover yourself, because you never know when you hear those stories. You know, an artist takes a song and, you know, and but you don't know it, you know, and they'll probably steal your song and you know, you can't do anything about it because you don't have all that stuff done. And copyright is important. Everybody thinks, oh yeah, you know, let me just do the poor man copyright. Or wait, I have a YouTube video that I did and I wrote, or I have my recording here. No, if you have the copyright, that's a legal document right there, that if some big artist with a lawyer that could pay a lawyer, you know, for all this stuff, you know, is saying, no, I'm not going to pay you, whatever. Well, here's your copyright. You could take it to court. I don't even think that a lot of places would even listen to it unless your stuff is protected, you know? And then it's ease too. It's like, now I can put my music out there and I don't have to worry about anything. And what's so great is that your stuff, once your stuff's out there and distributed digitally, you can go on like Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and you can bring in that music and put it as your background and get paid off of it. You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
One question I got from Jenny is, before I forget, is suppose this is protecting yourself because somebody can come along, somebody big can say, you know what, I'm gonna sample 16 measures of your song and then not wanna pay you for it. And you're like, wait a minute, that's mine. You know, I mean, it could be somebody, I'm not gonna mention, you know, somebody, a star.
Yeah, I was going to say a couple people, but
yeah, I'm not going to say names. And they'll be like, "Hey, I'm going to take, you know, 16 measures and sample your stuff." And you're like, "You got to pay me for that." Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's my music, and it's over the whatever the 4/8 bars, and they literally use the sample, mm-hmm. and they didn't slow it down, they didn't change the key. You know, you hear about people going to court, even like, you know, stars going to court about this stuff. Yeah. So yeah, you have to protect yourself. It's a lot of, you need an attorney, you need to read up. It's, that is like a course in itself, like I just mentioned. People sampling, and I'm watching how people write their music. I'm like, wait a minute, they took a sample from here, sample from there, sample mm-hmm. from there. Then they threw their own, you know, lyrics on top. I'm like, it's not even your music at all.
Yeah.
You know, they cut and paste. So mm-hmm. yeah, you're protected, and that's you should do a course on that.
Yeah, you know, that's another thing as far as samples, because Technotic, when he did Movement, he used a lot of samples just to get the idea in there. The only thing that wasn't sampled were the drums. And when, you know, I liked it, I was like, okay, is this sample free? And he's like, no. I was like, okay, well, we went in there and I redid guitars. We redid everything. I mean, we didn't copy what he did, but we kind of used that as a reference just to like kind of play on top, you know, play him live, play our stuff, you know, record us doing it, not getting it from a sample. So I'm always with him. I make sure if you're going to take any of my music and develop it, make sure it's sample free. The other thing I wanted to say too with my music and me being a guitarist is like my music's like, yes, I'm a guitarist, but I'm not playing like crazy leads or like signature stuff. Like when you listen to like these guitarists like Joe Satriani or Mark Lettieri or something, and you listen to their solo stuff, and there's always like, they always have that little signature thing or something that's like crazy, like, oh man, you know, listen to that lick, listen to that shredding, or listen to that. And my music is not like that. And so I always wondered, you know, it's just like, well, you know, when I listen to my stuff, it's like, I really don't, you know, have any like crazy guitar solos or anything like that, but
you have to stop saying you're a nobody. First of all, stop.
Hey, you're somebody. I mean, you're somebody.
I'm somebody.
You're an artist.
Yeah, well, you're an artist.
Professional artist, recording artist.
A lot of the stuff that what we wrote was like, I just wanted to take people for a ride, and it's amazing too, because I got a message, I got a DM from a guitar player. I guess that play, not from around here. I don't know where he's from, but he plays out a lot and he's an older guy. And he was just like, I really like your songs. He's like, it's like, you don't take your, it's like, you're not shredding. You're not like just playing these guitar notes just to play guitar notes, but you're actually telling a story with your guitar. And I'm like, that's exactly what I want to do. Like, And I take that from Joe Satriani, even though he's a shredder or whatever. But if you really listen to his music, his guitar lines take you on a ride, and they're telling a story. And that's what I loved about his compositions, the way he wrote his music and how he wrote his guitar. Same with Jimmy Page. Jimmy Page, the way that he wrote his, you know, the music, and the guitar dubs that he did, down to the solos, everything is like you remember those solos and you're singing them in your head. Jeff Beck, you know.
That great songwriter, guitar lead, you know that's him.
Yeah.
That he has a signature sound.
Though I will admit that in the 30s, if you hear that song, you hear like these guitar licks in the back, these like little guitar solos. That was off the cuff. I felt like Eddie Van Halen, you know, when he did Beat It, because he did that off the cuff, and they actually took that guitar solo and chopped it up with a bunch of guitar solos that he did. Well, in the 30s, when I did those solos, I did them at the end, and I was hitting a lot of wrong notes, but I was like, let me just solo, you know, just so you have them. And I just soloed, and it was terrible. It was terrible. So the guy, Colin, who recorded us, he took those solos and chopped them up and created solo lines. Yeah, he created solo lines.
You have no idea how solos are made like that, like chopped up. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I guess so. That's like a little secret.
Yeah.
little recording
secret. That's what Eddie Van Halen did.
Yeah.
A lot of his writing was just, okay, I'll do this solo. I like that. And he would just... you know, come up and just put it all together.
Yeah.
He didn't just solo. He would just write this little beat. Okay, I'll come back. He'll go get something to drink and coffee, and he'll come back and do something. And that's how he wrote. So does, let's talk about the prog guys like Tosin Abasi or Timmy Henson.
Yeah.
You know, those guys write on the computer and then they put it on their instrument.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, do what you got to do, girl. You know?
Yeah, I know. I was like...
And you say it's simple. That's why lo-fi and all these things are so popular. Because sometimes you just chill out and relax, listen to some like music. You don't want to hear out. You don't want to shred out all the time. You know, there's times for everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And that's Swipe Right. Swipe Right is a love story, and it's basically a true story. Me and Technotic. but Swipe Right will be the next video that will come out. And that will be next year. I'll wait till next year. And then I'm going to do one more video, which is with Percepto, Percepto 130. He's the one that was featured on Disorient Neutralizer. He did the rap on that. And I want to do a video with him. And I want to kind of do like a 90s kind of hip hop video where, like, remember, like they had the camera and he'd be like, you know, rapping in front of the camera. And then we'd be like just kind of like homie in front of the camera, but I want to be in the background.
Full like, box.
Yeah, right. you know, like kind of like have the camera on the ground and you're like singing to it. Like that's what I want. Like I want that like back in the day hip hop type video. Yeah. And I'll be in the background. Like I kind of want to be like the Alfred Hitchcock, you know, kind of like being in the background. That's how it was with Simple Things. And
yeah, he was always in his movies.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I want to do.
Alfred Hitchcock would be in all of his movies.
Yeah, that's why I want to kind of be, that's what I wanted to do. And that was my thing with Simple Things. Like I wanted Abby to be up front and her be the star. And me, I wanted to just be in the background and kind of like, who is that? That kind of thing. So
now your album is released and you have two videos out so far. How does it feel?
I feel awesome. Let's just say that. And it really inspires me to do more. Like when Shorn, like when I saw you kept putting out stuff and even putting out some music videos, you know,
yeah.
I mean, I always like, damn, why can't I do that? And
girl was dropping a week, it seemed like.
yeah. I mean, she was dropping like every time. And so I was like, why can't I do that? And even though I took a route where I maybe, you know, spent a lot, like I wanted to spend a lot. I don't think a lot of people need to spend a lot, but when I hear the end result, like I paid for mastering. The mastering was done by Chris Longwood, and he did some of, I don't know if you know the band Corumbin, but he did a lot of mastering for that. And I listened to it, and I'm like, damn, it sounds really good, you know? And I'm like, well, I paid for him to do that. And I'm happy for that, you know? And I think the next round, I said I wasn't going to spend a lot, but I'd probably get him to master those tracks just because I don't mind paying for good services, you know, but I'm really happy, and it's inspiring me to do more. It's, I've been in a cover band so fucking long. Like, I think my whole guitar life, I've played covers. And I don't mean artists. Like, artists playing for, like, you know, when I did Salt and Pepper and High Five and all that, and even playing for Climax, you know, like, that's a different thing. You know, I'm playing their music for their audience. You know what I mean? I'm not playing cover tunes, you know? Mm-hmm. But I just feel like now I really want to just concentrate more on writing and being more original.
First of all, let's hold on 1 second. You went from a nobody to I spent a lot of money, but I don't want to make money back. First of all, you got to change your verbiage, okay? You're a great artist. You have a vinyl album, you have an album out, digital. This is what you've been wanting to do. You did it, and you did it top tier. You did the best you possibly could, and you spent the money to do it, okay? So you're going to get the money back. People are going to recognize you. People may want a sample. You need to start speaking positive over the work you did. Or
I
just
know,
the way
I know.
Okay?
All I right. Know, sorry. I know. Okay. I know. I know, man. Thank you.
Don't downplay it. I mean, what you're doing is amazing. So, yeah. You know, we all give you all the accolades. I mean, you know, I'm so proud of you too, as a friend of mine and a, you know, a guitar player, musician that I've met. You know, I think you're phenomenal, and what you're doing is outstanding. So I think it's brilliant. So I know you want to get. I know you're humble. I understand that, but we're the Fred sisters. So you know, we know. Yeah. We love you, and we think that you're fantastic. So
I mean, you didn't have it. What I'm saying, you put out top. You put out like really good music, and you did it the right way. Everything is like any other artist would do that you look up to. So right now, like, Shore's doing the same thing. You know, she's got podcast, she got song coming out. She probably got like 5 songs she can drop tonight.
Not yet. I have to copyright my stuff before I release anything.
But she's got the process down, and so I feel like now that I did this, next, you know, my next thing will, you know, get easier and easier. You know, I'm very happy that I have something that at least I can say I did. I'll have something tangible to, you know, be able to say, yeah, it's out on vinyl. And like I said, it makes me want to actually do more and be around more people that do this kind of stuff. Like, you know, that's what I've been doing. I've been hanging out with more, you know, musicians, a lot younger musicians. And I'm actually been writing with a bass player, and we're kind of writing music together for another project. So it's like a different type of vibe. It's more punk rock, you know, real garagey and stuff. And so I'm going to that kind of way of writing, you know, trying to write like that. And, but it's not, you know, but I still have my own style. I kind of been doing cover bands forever and cover music forever. And I'm kind of like ready to do my own thing. And
I agree with you with that. I've been doing the same thing. We've been doing it about the same amount of time. I played with original acts as well. Yeah, we've both done that. All of us have done that. But yeah, I'm at this point, you know, I'm getting all these great corporate gigs. Yeah, but you know, it's a lot of travel. It's a lot of work. And I just want to just sit down and just do my own thing.
Yeah.
And do that once in a while, but it's just so much. And it's taxing because you're learning, you know, these covers and these arrangements, and it's just a lot. And I'm blessed to do it. I'm blessed to play musicians. But I've been doing it a long time, and it's like, it's time for something else. This is the first month I haven't had no gigs. In November, but I'm booked in December and January. And while I'm doing my own thing, and for me to do my project, I'm using people from New York and Detroit, and I'm here in Greenville, South Carolina. So I have to do some traveling, go to the studio. I'm just ready to just sit down and do that. In other words, it's like getting old. You know, the cover thing.
Yeah.
I don't mean to be, you know, not appreciative. But you know how if you do it all the time, you're like, okay. You know, you don't, it's not like, wow, I got this. I mean, I'm playing for dignitaries, I'm playing for great people, big corporations. And it's a gig and you get paid and you eat good and it's fun and you have fun with everybody. But after a while, it becomes mundane.
Yeah,
you know,
to break from.
You understand what I mean?
Exactly. Love it.
And yeah. And I totally feel that. And again, you know, being in a cover band has been a great experience for me. It's getting a little too much. And I think the pandemic kind of like made me change my mind, you know, not having to gig so much and really concentrating more on putting out something like this. Sometimes I'll get a call to play for an indie artist around here. And I love doing that, like playing for Climax, playing for an indie artist, because when I go to their gigs and I'm playing their music, those people are sitting there listening and really support. There's the support is crazy. You know what I mean? I mean, Climax, of course, you got everybody loving Climax, you know, or like with Salt and Pepper, you know, that kind of stuff. But like these indie artists that play these little clubs, and you see all the support and people are sitting there listening to you.
Speaking of covers and performing, Jeannie, will you ever perform, or you think about maybe next year doing like a little session for your album?
Well, now that you mentioned it, and I don't know when we're going to drop this episode, but I am playing a place in DC with a group that I've been playing with. They're like an original / cover act that I've kind of been hooking up with. They're called MAM. And there's a place down here called The Pocket in DC. A great place. That's where I met Abby for open mic. And so they have a show with two other bands, and we're doing two of my songs.
Awesome.
We're doing Movement and Falling Down.
And you got
Yep. And plus we'll be doing MAM originals and a couple covers. And then we are talking about the same group of musicians. We are talking about doing like a mini East Coast tour next summer.
Awesome.
MAM, the band I'm playing with, is drums, bass, and keys, vocals, and guitar. So
awesome. Well, congratulations.
And Technotic is going to be there, and he's going to do there and do some scratches and add some samples. Yeah, it's going to be so cool.
Awesome. Well, we thank you for coming and tell us about your album, the process.
Yay. Thank you for
tell everybody. I know the vinyl thing or maybe put on Bandcamp, but tell everyone where they can get the digital, where they can follow you and everything.
Yeah, yeah. Instagram, Jenny Jam. That's G like Gary, E NNYJAM. So that's Jenny Jam. So Instagram.com/Jenny Jam, Facebook.com/Jenny Jam, YouTube.com/Jenny Jam. And then I have a JennyJam.com website. And that has a hookup to my SoundCloud, SoundCloud.com/Jenny Jam. So everything's Jenny Jam. And so SoundCloud, you can go on SoundCloud and look and listen to my EP, Spotify, you know, Apple Music, Amazon. You could purchase it on Amazon, and you could purchase it on Apple too, Apple Music. Look up Original in Me, and hopefully, you know, that's another thing, album covers we need to talk about. Man, we got a lot of topics we need to talk about. Album covers. Album covers are important because if they stand out, people are going to click on you no matter what. And that's because that's me. When I go on Spotify and I see a cool album cover, I click on it to listen to what it is, if it's cool. If you see this album cover, YouTube also, you can go on YouTube Music, YouTube/Jenny Jam. I'm sorry, Jenny Jam. I have my artist page on there, my YouTube artist page. I merged with my personal page, which I think is kind of cool. So on the YouTube, you know how your music goes on topic? I think you know that, Shorn. Well, that moved all into my personal page now. So like my music videos, Simple Things and Movement are now like official music videos on my artists on my YouTube page, which is kind of cool.
So. Awesome. Well, congratulations again. Yay.
We'll put everything in the show notes.
Yes, definitely. Awesome.
And, I was going to say, you'll see another pod with Shorn's release and then another one with Karen's release.
Awesome. Yeah. Yes, you got more coming. We got more coming. Again, this is season 8. Thank you, Shawn. This is
season 8.
Thank you all for coming to Fret Tea Talk. This is a place where musicians meet and discuss all things music. We have so much more coming for you this season. And y'all have a great night, a great year, and we got more coming. Thanks, y'all, for coming. All right, bye.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Jenny Jam here. Thanks for tuning in to our latest episode of Between Frets. Keep checking back. We'll have more episodes loaded each week for your listening enjoyment. Peace and love.